Tonight, we're talking something, we're going to talk about something even earlier than Gerkat. We want to talk about, this is actually, again, it's a very, very interesting area of halacha. It may not be something you'll face all the time, but some aspects of it you will face, even in normal kiruv. And that is the issue of various assisted reproductive techniques. People have children in many ways today, and sometimes it's just variations of husband's sperm and wife's egg, different combinations, and other times you have third parties involved. Sometimes the third parties are Yidden, sometimes they're Goyim, sometimes they're Kroivim, and very, very interesting and serious shilas that get involved with all of these inyanim. You might have a variation of this, a single woman who wants to have children in various ways, and she may come to you for an Eitza. So one needs to at least know generally some of the parameters here. First of all, let me just bring out a very important psak of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. We know that infertility is, of course, for a married couple, it's a sad thing, and it's a difficult thing, and that's even if you're not religious at all. In the general world, it is a tzara, and among from Yidden, it's even much more of a tzara. We know, of course, Chazal tell us that there was a reason why the mice were akarais. Sarah was an Akara for so many years, and Rivka and Rachel. And Chazal say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the Imais Akarais? So the Gemara Yavama says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Misaveh L'Tfilasan Shel Tzadikim. The Eibishter is Misaveh for Tfilah. Now this is a tremendous Kiddush. Actually, it's a tremendous Kiddush, and it's a very deep Kiddush, and it raises a difficult question in Hashgafa. Because here's the thing. You might have thought, no, person has emuna. Whatever Hashem does, komad avid rachmano l'tav avid. Person doesn't have children. So the pshat is, I'm makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezeira b'yam. I accept, I'm smechem b'yisurim. So what taka would have been if Sarah Imenu, Avraham Avinu would have said, we're makabel, this is the gezeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not maharer achar midaisav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So besides the fact that there wouldn't be an Am Yisrael, whatever, but besides that little minor point, but she would have missed the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Tzara because he wanted to have the connection of Tefillah. So for Keret, when a person has a Tzara, the attitude l'chatchila at least should not be, I accept. The attitude should be, I'm using this as a springboard to be makasher myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's misaveh for my Tefillah. Now, at some point, it is brought down that at a point that we're, this is actually machlekes too, but many say, at a point that we're biderech hateva, there's no eifin of hatzala. Memela, at that point, generally speaking, many feel, many paiske, many gedolim say, one is not mispalo for a nes nigla. So b'chiyai gavna, at that point, your avaida is to be makabel. But and some say even then he continued to have him. Okay, but that's already a machlekes. But certainly until you reach the point where it takes a nice nigla, the avaita is fakir, to be mispilot. The Chiddush Yerim says that this was the curse of the Nachash. The Nachash was cursed. Afar teichal kol yemei chayecha. You will eat dirt all of your life. So frek the Chiddush Yerim, what's the curse? Plenty of dirt around. He says, the curse is, you'll never have a reason to turn to Hashem b'tfila. It's like you say to somebody, or say to your family, give this guy whatever he wants, I don't want to see his face, I don't want to talk to him. That's a richat. They tell a maisa, I think it may even be a true story. They tell the story about a teenager, a 16-year-old kid, whose mother died. The father married a second wife. And the second wife, for some reason, had a hatred to this kid. She said to the husband, either him or me. Well, the husband made a decision, which I don't think we would agree with, but he made the decision that he had to stay married to this woman. So he calls the kid over. He's a wealthy man. He gives him a car, keys to a car. He gives him a credit card. He gives him an apartment. He says, I'm going to give you $2,000 a month plus my credit card, an apartment and a car. You can have everything you want, but I can never see you again. So on one hand, you'd think superficially, this is a teenager's dream. I got an apartment and a car and a credit card without my parents not bothering me. But you see what a tzabrachana richuk it is. Sometimes when a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you everything you want without tefillah, it's maybe a sign of a richuk, you know, like the nefesh. Yeah. The chari is by every tzor. That's the say. Now, as I say, but once it takes neis nigla, then it's a different avoda. This is a maisa I heard from Rav Yaakov once, that there was a family that had a child who was dying of a genetic disease. It may have been Tay-Sachs, I don't remember. And they were schlepping the child all over the world for medical care, and going to every tzaddik, every gadol for a bracha. So they come to Rav Yaakov. Now they're broken. I mean, they're suffering. And Rav Yaakov looks at the child and looks at the parents and says, "May you have nachas from your other children." So people were shocked. Literally, there were a lot of people there. They were just shocked. They could not believe what looked like insensitivity and cruelty. But you know what the parents said? The parents said, the child died very shortly afterwards. They said they were very makir tov, because Rav Yaakov was telling them, there's a reality check here. At some point, you have to understand the matzav. At some point, for the child himself, let him be at home his last weeks. But derech hateva, there's nothing you can do anymore. So you run from place to place to place, tira fadas, and the child is not, you know, in his room with his toys, whatever it is. And he says, Rav Yaakov's very shocking remark made them realize that this was a different level of avodah at this point. Now, the reason I'm bringing all this in is the following. Today, we have many, many eifanim where fertility can be achieved without a neis nigla. We have all sorts of scientific technologies, in vitro fertilization, egg donation, sperm penetration. Well, I'll describe what some of these things are. In fact, Eretz Yisrael is actually a pioneer in a lot of these ways. The technology here is better in some ways than even the United States. And the insurance is more generous here than as in the United States. Having kids is like an optional zap, you know. So it's very difficult to get insurance for fertility here. Baruch Hashem, it's covered by the Kupat Chalims in various ways. But there's a very chashuv psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach says the chiyuv of Puri Verivia is not mechayev surgical interventions to have a child. The Torah creates an obligation only if it's kederech kol ha'aretz. Now, that's especially true since most of the surgeries is on the woman anyway, who doesn't have a chiyuv. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, as a general proposition, even if it would be a chiyuv on the man and the woman, there is no chiyuv to undergo surgery for this. Now, once again, many people, probably most religious people, will go through tipulim one way or the other, because of the union of having a child, but nevertheless, and you know, the desire to have a child, but it's important to know that it's not an absolute chiyuv. So if a person is sfarmatred, if a person is exhausted, if a person is hurting after all of this procedure, they do have to know. Al pi halacha, they're allowed to stop, and they're not considered to be mevatel the assay of piravir. It's a very important psak of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So let's go over some of the different ways people could have kids, and let's see which ways would be matim to Piri Verivia and halacha, and which ways would be possibly keneged halacha. The oldest way of having children, other than derech kol ha'aretz, obviously, but this goes back to the 19th century and even much earlier, is artificial insemination. Now, artificial insemination simply means that if that sperm is injected in the woman's body, And fertilization occurs in the woman's body. Now, there are two types of artificial insemination. Obviously, this is going to be a tremendous chiluk. There is artificial insemination with husband zera, and that's actually called AIH, artificial insemination of husbands. But then there are all sorts of sperm banks in the world. That's artificial insemination of donor, which is called AID. Now, let's first look at some obvious points, although the obvious is has interesting machlokes in it. If a woman wants to have a child and the husband, for whatever reason, is infertile, so she wants to know, can I be impregnated with artificial insemination from a donor? Can I go to a donor and get impregnated? So Erschtens, it's obvious, that whether this is going to be much or less, and I'll talk about that in a moment, it's certainly not going to help Lagabi Piri of Rivia, because it's a double pashut. If the woman is having a child from another man, that's not considered to be the husband's. And even if they adopt the child, unless you follow Rav Shlomo Kluger's Das Yachid, that you're Makayim Furu Ravu by being Magadol Yasam Biyasaima, Abaderach Klal, and adopt the child, there's not a key in the Piri Varivia. So AID certainly does nothing for Piri Varivia, that's obvious. But the question is, a woman wants to have a child, is it mutter? So here we have a very, very meforsam machlekes between Rav Moshe, this goes back to the 1960s, and the Sapna Rav, of all people. This was not about Zionism and not about Eretz Israel. A totally different, issue. The Satmar Rav took a very, very strict, although logical position. Zuck the Satmar Rav, if a Jewish woman is impregnated with the zera of a man other than her husband, even though there's no Maisa Bia, she is a Mezane Baratzen, meaning she's forbidden to stay married to her husband. She has to be divorced. She's a Saita. And number two, the child that is born from AID is halachically a mamzer. And Mimela, it's very, very strict, right? So that's a Satmarist position. The two consequences. She's Asura Labaila, and the child is a mamzer. Rav Moshe, huh?
That's Pasha's coming off the Pasuk Shechvas Zera.
That's the Shechvas Zera itself.
Zera in the Pasuk itself.
Right.
There's more
right.
On the Zera guy.
Right.
Oh, why is it a Zenus?
Huh?
Why is it a Zenus if there's no Mice Zenus?
Well, he says the definition of Zenus is that she absorbs the Zera of a man other than her husband.
Even though there's no Mice.
That's what Sabarov says. Now, Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe has no fewer than four different tshuvas. Some of them are short, some of them are long, where Rav Moshe says very, very stark that a woman is never ne'aseres al baila unless there is bia, whether it's bia kadarka or bia shelo kadarka, but the injection of zera alone is not a pa'ula of bia to aser her labaila. Now that's very mistavra. The second is a bigger chiddush a little bit. And Rav Moshe Taina is, the child is not a mamzer, because the chefza of mamzeris is toloi, not on the mitzias. See, one might have thought mamzeris is a mitziastic thing. In other words, the child of a man other than her husband. Zucht Rav Moshe, what makes somebody a mamzer is not that he's the child of somebody other than her husband. What makes the child a mamzer is that there was a pu'ula of bias iser with somebody other than her husband. And Rav Moshe said very, very stark, therefore, the child is not a mamzer. Now, he's still not his kid. In other words, he's not Makai Pru or Vu, but the child's not a mamzer. Ah, now, this was at the time, Satmar Bechlal is a relatively militant. When they have sukkah they don't like, they take to the streets a little bit. So Rav Moshe was burnt in effigy. They had different machas, all sorts of things. In fact, if you ever read the biographies of Rav Moshe in Art Scroll or whatever it is, they're meramis to this a little bit. They'll say a person who was very involved in insulting Rav Moshe came to him for a kabbalah and shechita. It's starting. Rav Moshe gave him a kabbalah and shechita. And the family said, how could you do this? He was so insulting. And Rav Moshe says, I was Meichelin by Yom Kippur. So what's Shayach made out of a grudge? The background behind those stories, as he was probably a Hasidic Yid who was involved in these machos against the Igros Moshe. And Rav Moshe wrote four tshuvas defending his position. But there's a lot of nuances we need to discuss. Rav Moshe Tainis, now some say this made it even worse, but you'll see. Rav Moshe Tainis, even if AID, right, I can use the Rashi Tavis, even if AID does not create mamzeris, and it does not make a woman asura labaila, there is another problem why AID should be asur, and that is, there's a chashash of incest with unknown craving. What's the pshat? The pshat is, here you have an anonymous sperm donor, and maybe, let's call them Reuven. Huh?
If it's anonymous, and how can we say it's a mumsy? Even for the Satmar Rav, it could be we go after Rav and Rav is going.
That might be so, but you're correct. You're correct. I mean, the Sabarav basically said it would be mamzer only if it's a Jew. That's correct.
So if we know it's a Jew, so then we should know who it came from. He's anonymous, but we know he's a Jew.
Well, that's possible. So, let me go over the background, because I didn't discuss what happens if it's a guy yet. That doesn't be part of Moshe's tshuva. So the problem Moshe says is what? That a brother might marry a sister. Right? A brother might marry a sister because a boy is born from the AID, and he might marry his sister who was born from the same donor, either b'derech hateva or through another donation. And we find that Chazal were chayshesh for the possibility of kraven, because that is why a widow or a grusha has to wait 3 months, because otherwise we're not sure if it's a ben zayin the rishon, a ben zayin the sheni, or ben tes the rishon, and there's a chashash of ach naisei achayse. Now, this is not an empty chashash, by the way. You might think, oh, it's very rachuk. You know, in the Washington area, there was a fertility doctor who happened to be Jewish. This is Taka. He happened to be Jewish. And he had a very unusual rate of success. Like all of his patients, all of the women he treated had kids. And, like, you know, it was like 3 times the success rate of any other doctor in the whole country. And they discovered that the pshat is he just augmented everything with his own zera. So he was always successful, because he was a fertile person. So these demographers or statisticians calculated. So there was something like, he fathered like 100 children. A whole bunch of, talk about big mishpacha. So they calculated that the odds of siblings marrying were like, you know, 20%. Like, it's very interesting. Apparently, most people in general society marry people within a radius of 10 miles of their parents' house. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And they were really chesprainous about how this would work out and the like. So here is what Rav Moshe said as a chiddush, and this will address what you said. Rav Moshe said, if there's no problem of mamzeris, but the problem of a Jewish donor is ach naisei achaisei. So Rav Moshe Taines, that if the donor is a goy, you have neither problem. You don't have mamzeris, but Rav Moshe holds there's no mamzeris even if it would be a yid. And Rav Moshe says you don't have a problem, at least halachically, genetically you might have a problem. You don't have a problem of a brother marrying a sister, because, once again, if an Eved Kechavim impregnates a Jewish woman, the Eved Kechavim has no yichus to the child. So we don't really care if that guy had a child from a Jewish woman, or that guy had a child from a non-Jewish woman. In other words, it makes no difference what type of child that guy may have had, but this guy has no paternity with respect to the Jewish child from this woman. So Rav Moshe came up with, at first glance, that sounds like a very bit of a startling idea. He says, if a woman is mitzta'eres harbe, and she feels a real emotional need to have a child, so she is allowed to be impregnated with artificial insemination from a goy. And in America, l'chol hapachos, we assume al pi rov that it's a goy. Now, the Satmar Rav actually agrees with that. In other words, when the Satmar Rav says mamzeris, he was vaday talking about a Jew. On the other hand, let me point out that the Satmar Rav did say if she gets impregnated from the zera of a goy, she's mezana with a goy, which is considered to be a very, very chomer aveira. So the Satmar Rav would not give the eitzah of this. It's only because Rav Moshe says it's not a BS isser that Rav Moshe tainas to be marav with a goy. So the last tshuva Rav Moshe wrote after Satmar, you know, did all sorts of things, very, very strange, and so it's hard to know what this means in halacha. Rav Moshe said in his last little tshuva, short tshuva, that he's correct, the halacha is like he said, but he is withdrawing his psak. Now, it's not clear what that means, because the chayra, the way we normally understand the halachic system, you don't need the psak. In other words, if the lundus is there, if the paisek says there is no iser bedavar, you don't need his rishus to go ahead. In other words, I mean, Rav Yashiv couldn't say so much that something is mutter, but I don't allow you to do it. It's not clear what the mechanism of that is. So at least officially, Rav Moshe did withdraw his psak, but in the same shuvah where he withdrew his psak, he actually said, I'm not chayzer on anything I said. I'm withdrawing it from Maisa, but I'm not chayzer on anything I said. Okay.
Now, the pressure of summer?
It's hard to know. It's hard to know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's very good. So you can take it as face value.
Well, which thing that is, not which thing are you taking as face value?
That's the halacha. So if that's hatzak, was it halacha? That's the halacha.
It's very clear. Moshe said that's the halacha. The question is, it's hard to understand. Well, okay. Now let me just say that the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael. I want to point out that the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael. We think of the Satmar Rav as an extreme position, but the Paiskim in Eretz Yisrael take his lumbus at least as a suffix. I mean, Rabbi Yashiv does consider AID with a yid, and in Eretz Yisrael that would be the Rav, as a suffix mamzeris. He's masking that she's not Asura Labayla, because Asura Labayla is, she has to be Mazana. But Al Mamzeris, he does say it's a Suffolk Mamzeris. And Lagabe impregnation with a Goy, even though Avada, that avoids Mamzeris. Attack avoids Mamzeris. But the Paiskim here, the Sitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yachiv, he should be well. They all have a Lushan that this is Mechur Hadavar Ma'id Ma'id. It's a repulsive miyastik azach that you should be, a woman should be, a firm woman, a Jewish woman should be machnis the zera of an Ovid Kechavim into her guf. I mean, good. Sometimes you have an issue where the whole is worse than the sum of the parts. Meaning, yeah, okay, Goy is no mamzeris, and Goy is no ach no seyachosa. But there's something broader here, that you're not machnas. In fact, it's interesting, so the Paiskim here are b'chlal not in favor of AID, and the Emet says, it's not clear that Ramesh was in favor of it. Ramesh said, if a woman is very, very desperate, and the like, yeah.
Look, why is the Paiskim on that? It's a problem with siblings, very much. You just said it was Chakanas, Zero would be
No, we do paskin like that reason. We do paskin that one of the reasons, at least one of the reasons of Havchana, is that you shouldn't have ach no say achosa. Another issue is Rav Shlomo Zalman discusses, and this is actually very nogea in Rav Moshe as well. If a girl is conceived from an AID, from a goy, can she marry a kohen? That actually is a very serious shaila. This is actually a little-known halacha, but it is a halacha. Sometimes, for some reason, Rabbanim don't realize this. If a non-Jewish man has relations with a Jewish woman, and they have a daughter, she's Jewish, she's not a mamzer, but the halacha is she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Again, a lot of people... The reason why some people don't know this halacha is because it's in a very strange place in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the wrong siman. There's a siman in the Shulchan Aruch about Nashim who are not allowed to marry Kohanim. And this halacha doesn't appear in that siman. It's like two simanim ahead of time, before that. But it's also a strange halacha because it is the only one of the Asura L'Kahuna which b'dievet, if she got married, she could stay married. In other words... Oved kechavim v'yevet abal bas Yisrael bitay paguma l'kahuna, but v'im nisei slo teitze. Very unusual.
That's the only one.
That's the only one. Every other one. Say again. If a woman. No. If a woman herself is mezana with a guy, she's a Zaina da Iraisa, she vadai cannot marry a Kohen, and even b'dievet, if she married a Kohen, it's going to be Teitze. No. Yeah, this is not the woman herself. This, in fact, that's the big issue with Balei Tshuva getting married to Kohen. That's even b'dievet a problem. Although, Achar HaMaisa, maybe she's not believed. That's another thing. But this is a different thing. This is talking about the woman is not Mizana. The woman's mother is a Jewish woman who was mezana with a guy or even raped by a guy. So l'chatchila, she cannot marry a kohen. So the shaila is going to be, what would happen in Rav Moshe's case? If there was AID, is she asura l'kahuna? That would be nogea too. It's a Ramayshon of Shlomo Zalman actually made them. They actually say that such a woman could even marry a Kohen. There's a Machmer of Yashem is Machmer, right? So that's a kind of a secondary level question about is she allowed to marry a Kohen. By the way, this creates awful complications now. I'll tell you because I'm even involved in some of this. Because these are ripple effects of various Giyurim L'chumra. I mean, I'll give you an example of how things have all these ripple effects. There was a man whose mother converted 50 years ago with an Orthodox base then. And the man thought he was a born Jew. He was raised a from Jew. And now he has a daughter. And the daughter wants to get married. Now, the problem basically is the man undergoes a Giyur L'chumra because maybe there's something wrong with his geiris. So now it turns out that her father was a goy, even though she's Jewish. So now all of a sudden she discovers when she's 25 she's not allowed to date a Kohen. You know, that's the, you see
the mother was Magai before he was born or after he was born?
No, I'm sorry. The mother was... His mother... Yeah, his mother was married before he was born.
Okay, so...
But now they say there's some Shaila in his mother's geiris, so he should be Magayer again. But if he's Magayer again after his daughter was born, then it turns out that the daughter, Misafek, might have a father who's a goy, in which case, although Shivada was born Jewish, because her mother is Jewish...
She might not be able to something
going. Right, the son was a something going.
She's
saying it's
something on the air to something.
Well, that might be. In other words, there is a good. There, I mean, I didn't want to pass him off. I said you have to ask a daylum, but there is certainly in Lundus there is a makom to say that if you're makel in the suffix in this is leitaitse, so you're not machriyed as a varayiser, then lechayer when you have a suffix if the father is a goy or a yid. There might be a welcome to Madra in that case, because it's a suffix really and an Isser to Rabban. In other words, the Isser is really an Isser to Rabban. There is lumbus for that, but you need. Don't pask in that. No, it's good for you to have the lumbus. I mean, you go see Rebbe Yashiv or whoever. Mention what you said, but he should be the one who's not. But all I'm saying is that the idea of Giyur L'Chumra is not just something you do without consequences. Meaning, take care of Giyur L'Chumra, be fine. It has consequences on other people that are sometimes unknown and unanticipated. Okay, now let me.
A woman is mazana with a guy who doesn't create an answer?
Absolutely not. And that's important. That's important to know. It's a machlekes in the Gemara. It's actually a machlekes in the Gemara. But the halacha is very clear that the child is not a mamzer. The only negative status the child has is that if she's a girl, chatchila, she should not marry a guy. Yeah, that's important to know those halachas. Okay.
So she can stay married to her Jewish husband? She's not with a guy?
Yeah. Yes. That's a machlokes, but that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu Tam says, perhaps in a uncomplimentary way, he says that zanus with a guy is considered to be bias behema. He says, and if a woman who's mazana with a behema, she's allowed to stay married to her husband. Okay. I won't get into that now. But anyway. Okay. Now, let me just mention. So as I say, so AID really cannot be recommended, even with Rav Moshe Saterim. Number one, he withdrew the heter in Eretz Yisrael. Certainly, you have a Roy Yidden anyway, and Mechur Hadavar by a guy. And if it's a Jew, Rav Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman said the Chol Pavitz is a Suffolk mantra. But let me just mention one area which is a bit controversial, where AID might be contemplated. It's not the most sneistic situation, but you may get it. You may get it. This may be a live Shaila. That is a single woman. A woman's not married. And she's getting older. And she is afraid that she will not have a chance to get married before her biological clock runs out. So she said she's from. She said I don't want to be mezaneh with somebody. That's not what I want to do. That's not right. But what about I go to an anonymous sperm bank, I get impregnated, I have a child? I have a child. That's all. Like a virgin birth, right? So the question becomes... So the question becomes, is there any eifen that a paisek or someone could matir? And again, you know, I don't want to... Same shell as what?
You have the issue of having her husband. It's still the same...
Well, no, Mamzerish you're not going to have either, because if she's not married...
You have a shot, but it's a sibling marriage.
Let's talk about both sides of this. Now, the thing is, again, one has to understand that, one has to have rachmanis in this situation. In other words, one of the things you have to be, as people who will be asked shilas or discussing issues at least, is you have to understand that even when the halacha says something's usher, you have to be margish. At least you cry with the person. Like Rav Shach used to say also that I can't do anything for you, but I can cry with you. That's a very, very important yisod, not to just look at things as abstract problems, like you're doing calculations and send people away. You know, it is tzara. It's tzara. People. So let me discuss the issue. So if you analyze it from the pure standpoint of halacha, so let's look at it both ways. If it's anonymous Jew, meaning Eretz Yisrael Yusuf is a Jew, but it's anonymous, so you do have the problem of ach noisei, ach eisei, okay? If it's non-anonymous Jew, so here's the thing, in other words, you don't have ach noisei, ach eisei, but you have a tremendous pretzis. In other words, for a woman to be impregnated with a guy that she knows, that already is too close to Znus. In other words, see, that's the thing. You want it to be anonymous, because that makes it less of a pretzis. On the other hand, the anonymity creates the potential of secret incest. What about a guy? So if you go with the cheshbon b'chur hadavar, that's going to be the same.
Someone else can go.
Yes, yeah, so here's the thing. So I want to point out that as you might guess, the Haredi Gedolim of the Poskim of the Yeshiva world, by and large, consider it. They don't even write long tshuvas. They just say, Chas v'shalom. But there is, no matter what they say, if you're a single woman, to have children this way is a pirtza in Kedushas Yisrael. And they don't allow it at all. But there are some paiskim in the Dati Liumi worlds. Rav Shurlo, again, and Rav Shurlo makes an argument that Al Pidin, it should be okay. And he actually says, Ach Nose Achaise means there should be somebody, some agency that knows, so they could be a record. Right, so you prevent Ach Nosei Achaisei. But Rav Shurlo says there are two reasons Al Pi Hashkafa why this should not be allowed. One reason is that, number one, this is an interesting Shaila, is it Al Pi the Hashkafa of the Torah to deliberately raise a child without two parents in the family? Now, of course, there are almanas, people, right? There are grushas, and there are situations. But l'chatchila, to bring a child into the world, especially without a father, l'chatchila, one does not create families that way. Chazal talk about the fact that there are gimel shutfim bi'adam, aviv, imay, v'kadosh baruch. And even though you could argue on a biological level, you have the gimel shutfim, have sperm and egg, but it also refers to the idea of raising a child as well. So that's one problem. And the other problem is that would this create an excuse for women not to get married? Meaning, part of what pushes a woman to get married is the desire to have children. If you create matzavim, where you can have kids without getting married, you know, what effect would it have? So he has all sorts of rules. I mean, there's no yisayt for these rules, but he just makes up rules. He says he's willing to matur it. I mean, you know, he's willing to matur it if the woman has been dating seriously for at least 10 years, and she's shown that she's mishtado to look for a husband seriously. So mimeila b'shas hadchak, he was willing to matur it. So this is an issue that's being discussed, and I can tell you, in the modern Orthodox world, which in America is a strong and enlarging world in some ways, especially with Chovei Torah and other places like that, you're going to get more and more of these types of situations. Again, you have to have a Pesach. This whole set of shiurim is about. But there are svaras to matir, although, as I say, most of the gedolim regard it as a pirtza in the Kedushas Yisrael. Yeah.
Is it going to cause? It's going to cause people to talk about it. And say that
That's a cheshbon too. You're correct. It's good that you brought it up. There is a cheshbon.
People are not going to believe that she had this.
Right. There is a cheshbon of Marisayan and Maitzadiba.
To shame wrong.
Yeah. The question is, does she have a right to be Michael in that? That's an interesting question. Meaning like this: if the only taina on her is people are going to say bad things about you, so the question becomes. Is she a bialim to kind of be Michael?
She's causing people to talk like she's.
So it's a lifnaver. That's an interesting question. You're saying if I do something that people are going to say what's not about or what's shemra about
did
me.
Did you impart so much here why you're doing it?
No, she's not. And people won't believe it. People won't believe it. People are going to say she did snus.
40% of the babies born in Tel Aviv right now are single mothers.
Yeah, but not through artificial insemination.
11%.
11%. Okay, so yeah.
11%.
Are we going to speak about
how can we
adjust? Yeah, we'll get to. I probably won't get. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but we'll go over these.
People are going to say that she probably did snus.
Okay. Well, okay. What you're saying is a cheshbon. It is a cheshbon. The question is that enough of a yisait aser into mamish? You know, it's an eitzah. Certainly, you'd have to factor it in, giving some reason. Well, there's a famous tshuva of Rav Meisher. Rav Meisher says about going to into a non-kosher restaurant for a business meal, where you're not eating. So the taina is somebody sees you walking in, isn't that gufa imarasayim? So Rav Meisher taina's. Why are you mechuyev to assume that people will be chayshed you? If you're a shamer kashas, he says that's not marzak. He says that's their problem for dining you not lakaf lakafskos. So there might be a kain that, but it may depend. As if this becomes more common, so your argument gets less.
No, I'm saying in a restaurant, there's chances of someone seeing you is very slight. As opposed to a woman walking around pregnant, everyone's going to see her. I'm going to say that she's.
I hear. I mean, okay, but still, there's. There are differences, but there are also similarities.
Was
not what?
He was not sugar. He wasn't from.
Yeah.
So he was asking if he should put his yarmulke. Yeah. He was asking if he should put it on when he's going to a non-kosher restaurant.
Yeah. So Rav Meisher says always take off your yarmulke if you're doing an aveira. Take off your. In other words, he brings a raya from the. He calls it a chilul Hashem. If you're going into a movie or whatever, and he brings a raya. The Gemara Taka says. If a person can't be kaivish as Yetzer Hara, he should go to a makam she'ein makirin osa, a place where nobody knows him. He should dress yobash chayrim. In other words, and yasin mashali b'chafes. Now, avada chazal don't mean do the avera, but they're saying, but if you can't control yourself, then it's better to do it in an eifin where you won't be identified as a religious Jew. Yeah.
Isn't this right? He takes his yarmulke if he wanted to eat more than really.
It is a cheshbon. There are diyunim in that. Maybe the yarmulke will be a break. Like the Gemara has a ma'aseh about the guy that was with Mazana and his sisters hit him in the face. Yeah. It's a cheshbon. It's an interesting. It's a difficult cheshbon type. Is this going to stop me from going all the way, or will it be a chilul Hashem because I can't control myself? Yeah.
The difference between what Rav was mentioning about raising a child with just the mother.
Well, l'chayra, I guess, l'chayra, you're noting a good point that even though women are not mitzvah in Piri V'Rivi, which is the Doraisa, Tosfos says in Chagiga and Bava Basra, in Gittin, that a woman is mitzvah in the mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah, Nevi'im, l'sheves yitzara. Is she Makayim Losheves with AID? The answer is yes. Probably yes.
And that wouldn't have the problem of just having one parent?
Well, there would be a problem. In other words, all I'm saying is, but she is Mekayim, I mean, Mekayim, but it could be, you know. But now I want to mention one other thing. Let's go to the other side of the equation for one moment. AIH. What if she just wants husband and wife, Zera from the husband himself? Now, you might ask, what do you need AIH for? The husband's here. Well, not always. In other words, sometimes, for example, there may be what's called a low rate of motility. The zera is not yerik echetz. It doesn't go powerfully enough. Maybe a low sperm count. So by aggregating zera from the husband, it's shayach to have a greater chance of fertility. So here, there is a very, very important halachic shayla. We don't have to be marichin it so much. The issue basically is haitzah zera levatala. The issue is in order... Right. In other words, if you're going to be mitzi the zera to then be machdis in her guf, but it's not coming out during tashmish, the question is there are afanim problems of afanim. Now, as a general rule, the paiskim have said that miikir hadin it's not called levatala, because even if it's coming out not through tashmish, it's for the tachlis of period arivia. Again, we can talk about pratim if anyone is a shayla. We can talk about pratim
that was
privately, huh?
Rav
Paiskim say that, yeah. But there are still different rules about the eifanim of how to be might see it. And I also want to warn people that the problem is that a lot of times doctors and clinics want a lot of testing. In other words, the etzem zera that's going to go to period Barivia. So the Paiskim say that's not Labatola. But there's a lot of testing things. And therefore, Derek Clowley, a firm person, needs to stipulate that even if you're testing, you should use some of the ejaculate for actual
insemination
and the like. Okay. Now, this is the same if it's in vitro. I'm talking about AID, but AIH, but the same thing would be in vitro. AIH is when it's mamish injected into the woman, but today it's more common to do an in vitro, but it's the same issue. The Hatzah Sera Levatala is an important issue, and that's why some Paiskim say Rav Avadya was very extreme. He used to say that a husband should not give Zera this way till they were married for 10 years and didn't have a child. On the other hand, in later tshuvas, he said, that's if you don't have an identifiable reason that he has a problem. If you know for sure that he has a designated problem, you're not mechuyev to wait. You only wait when you don't know, and therefore, maybe there's no problem. Okay. Now, the next fertility technology, and again, we're still talking about husbands here, I'll get to donors, is in vitro fertilization, or IVF, and that is simply means that the egg is removed from the woman and its fertilization occurs in the petri dish, and then it is transplanted into the rechem. And 9 months later, you get a child. Again, in vitro is fine. The only shiloh with in vitro is the hotzas zera levatala, and that you have to work out, etc. But in vitro per se, all the paiskim say that there is a kiyum. Well, not all. But Rav paiskim say there is a kiyum of period Arivia. Granted, Rav Shlomo Zalman said you're not mechuyev to do an in vitro. See, in vitro does involve surgery. The surgery of the woman, because number one, she has to take a lot of hormonal drugs to increase her ovulation, and number two, there is a surgical extraction of the egg under general anesthesia. So there actually is a surgery. So if Shlomo Zalman's psak is very nogeya, one shaila. Again, I'm going to have to save a lot of this for next time. But one big shaila is that ovulation. Now, you want to maximize the probability of successful fertilization. So because of this, what often happens is they'll give her drugs to cause ovulation, and there might be 20 eggs that are retrieved. And when the 20 eggs are exposed to sperm, you might have 10 eggs, lamushel, that are fertilized. Now the question becomes, if a judgment is made, you can only safely implant 2, 3, or even 4.
Law in America now
is 3. That a law? That's a law? Okay. Okay. Really? Okay. Well, that's a law after the woman in California who had 8, right? Actomom. They made a law after Actomom. Yeah. But anyway. But the thing is, and she also had a bunch of kids before. Anyway, but the thing is that what do you do with the fertilized That's a very serious shaila. Is the strong them considered to be abortion? Well, I'll mention some of the pratim here. Now, the truth of the matter is, bizman hazeh, it's a little easier, because now fertilized eggs can be frozen and theoretically used later. So even though they were fertilized at the same time, they could be several years apart.
You still have the question.
Well, depending how many there are, but if there are, let's say, five or six, so you can say, I'll take two this year, and not two, and three next year. It depends. But at least, So you really have four options legally. There is destruction, which is going to raise at least a shiloh of abortion. We'll talk about it. There is freezing for later use, which is actually good. That's the same woman is going to use it, so that's Kaseder. The third is donation, and that's going to raise all sorts of problems about yichus, which we'll talk about, because giving them to another couple. And the fourth is experimentation, which is really the same thing as destruction. Destruction is letting it thaw. Experimentation is destroying it via diet. So those two are going to be the same type of problem. So we're going to see the only one that has no halachic problem, no problem, is freezing for later use. But sometimes the person may not want that. In other words, let's say this is already their fifth, sixth kid, eighth kid, whatever it would be. They don't want another five. So we'll talk about Bekitzer, what you have to do and whether there's a problem. But at least these are shilas you have to be aware of. This is a main one. Now, some Paiskim have said, they've been very strict on this. They've said that you are not allowed to extract in an in vitro procedure more eggs than the woman is willing and her doctor agrees can safely be implanted in her now or in the future. Now that means if you follow that psak, number one, it greatly reduces the effectiveness of the in vitro, and that may mean that you'll need many more, several more attempts at an in vitro because you've used fewer eggs. And that can result in money as well, depending on how much insurance covers it.
Could the woman be in nida during
all this? Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, yes. And I'm glad you brought that up. So this is another big machlokas. This is nogeya both AIH and in vitro fertilization. It's nogeya both situations. And that is, one of the fertility problems, which is really a halakhic fertility problem, is that even if man and wife are both fertile, and they're perfectly capable of having children, the woman might ovulate before she's able to complete the normal 12-day cycle, 5 days, Fefsik Tyra, and Shiva Nikiyam. Let's say she ovulates on day 11 or day 10 even, and Mimela, by the time she goes to the mikvah, she can no longer be fertile, right? Because she has a narrow window of 72 hours from ovulation. So in Hilchos Nida, you have Chabur in Hilchos Nida, and you've learned Hilchos Nida, so you know that there might be various attire, how to make a Hefsek Tyra early, and then have Zayin Nekim, okay, they need different Nekudas. But one of the studim that's been suggested is, what about AIH, insemination during Nida, or even in vitro fertilization during Nida? Is that considered to be an Isser of Bayel Nida? Now, consistent with Rav Meisha's general on this, that Hachnosas Zera is not considered to be the same as a Maisa Bia, many Paiskim do permit AIH, even into the woman's body, during Nida, and they also tanya that the Pagam of Ben Nida is not going to apply because there's no Bias Isser. Say again, didn't hear. I believe so. Tzamarav didn't address it, but I believe the Tzamarav would say. Now, Rav Vosner is machmir. Rav Vosner does say it shouldn't be done during Nida. Some have said very interesting compromise, a little risky. They have said like this. They have said that they were willing to matur it if the woman goes to the mikveh after 7 days from the beginning of the Nida, because Dereisa, a Nida does not need Zayin Nekiyim. Right? Unless she's a Zava, but Bederek Klal, she's not a Zava Gedolah. So Mimela, if she goes to the mikveh, the night after the seventh day from the beginning of her period, so she was yaitse midei nida diyaraisa. So b'chi haigavne, even though there's nisha d'rabbanan, but we would then matter artificial insemination as long as she's not a nida diyaraisa.
So she's also her husband.
So some consider that to be a wonderful eitza. Other consider it to be a very bad thing to do, because pumfakir, to mature a woman to go to the mikveh after 7 days, there's a big chashash that her husband might be nichshol to have bia with her mamish. So they say fakir, you bedafka don't mature it, right? So it goes different ways. So some will answer it both ways, others...
She doesn't tell him.
This was Rav Vosner who said this later?
No, Rav Vosner just said she can't do it during
mikveh. She won't tell her husband that she went to the mikveh.
Right, she's going to do fertility issues and then you want to...
Well, yeah, but I don't hear it. I mean, the husband is following a psak. He can only do this procedure short to the mikveh, so she doesn't tell him. The procedure depends on the husband following this psak that she has to go to the mikveh, so she wouldn't be able to keep it. Okay? So, again, obviously, I'm not. This is not psak halacha lemaisa, but shailas, you know, but you're going to get these shailas. These are things that come up all the time. So next week,
Rav
Moshe speaking
about this.
Rav Moshe. No, remember, if you remember, Rav Moshe anyway. Well,
he said
that wouldn't work for this.
Rav Moshe says it's not a Ben Nida,
but this is not connected. Rav Moshe has another thing about Ben Nida, which is not connected to this, where Rav Moshe says that the average Baal Tshuva or Balas Tshuva does not have the pagan of a Ben Nida. Because you could be Taila that the mother went to a swimming pool. Rav Moshe has a cheshbon that b'diavad, but that actually wouldn't work with a firm woman who's keeping up of nida. That wouldn't work with that. But there's not a ben nida for that for a different reason.
Hold it after 7 days, she went to the pool.
Yeah. So next week we'll talk a little bit, which is the main thing I wanted to get to. All of this was a hakdama to the main topic. The main topic are in yanim of yichus. Where you're using, we talked a little bit about EID, but in vitro fertilization, egg donation, and surrogacy. With EID, you don't have yichus as the kid a Jew because the mother is Jewish. But when you have egg donation or surrogacy, you mamish have a very serious shaila: is the kid a goy or is the kid a Jew? Does the kid need a geiris? Because there you're redefining who the mother is. And that's a much more serious shaila than when the father might be a goy, because here you have a shaila, is the kid Jewish? Now, I will tell you that egg donation, I mean, again, it's a mud nezach. There seems to be, piskei halacha, a tarish about pen, a tarish of b'chsev. The paiskim in writing are not so in favor of it. They talk about irbuv of mishpachas and confusion of yichas. But in the field, on the ground, many from people, Haredim as well, Hasidim, are using donated eggs. And with Derech Klal from Goyim, but we'll discuss it. And the question becomes, according to many Paiskim, if the egg donor is a non-Jew, the child may need a Geiris, but it's not Borer how many of these kids are being converted. Because think about it psychologically. Unless someone is very meshubah to a paisek, if a Jewish woman carried the baby for 9 months, she doesn't look at the kid as someone who needs a geiris. I mean, she was carrying the baby for 9 months. And yet, Al-Pidin, or Shlomo Zalman Paskind, you need a gear l'chumra, l'chol ha-pachas. So we'll talk about it. I guess it'll be a...